Father Greg Boyle, a Jesuit who has worked for several decades among the gangs in East L.A. And has founded the ministry called Homeboy Ministries, is a for me a great model of priesthood and a hero of mine in so many ways and a mentor. But in his early priesthood, he he saw every crisis, every problem among the gang members as an opportunity that could not be missed to save their souls. He saw in every crisis that he had to be available and go at it and solve it with all his might. And he did as best he could. After years and years of this intense 24/7 ministry, his superior requested him to take time off to reset his ministry, if you would. And in it, he learned, he took this year off of meditating on much things about Christ. I realized that all these years he had tried to save so many people, that there was really no saving to be had, that God had already got there, and it was only up to the people for themselves to realize that they had been saved. And so going back to his ministry, he best illustrates this in his book, Tattoos of the Heart. There's this great story he tells about Pedro. Pedro is a gang member, what he calls a homie. And he's been a homie for, well over a decade. And his whole life has been peppered with violence and abuse. In a vicious cycle of self-wounding, wounding by his history, and then drug abuse and alcohol abuse. And the cycle continued for many years. Over a decade, Father Greg had reached out to him and tried to encourage him to come into rehab. And every opportunity that he reached out to him was rebuffed with, no, I'm fine, I got this. He was super polite and super nice, but no, I got this, Father G, as he said to him. Then one day, out of the blue, Pedro says to Father Greg, I'm going to do this rehab. So he goes in. 27 days into the rehab, Pedro's brother gets killed in a gang attack. Pedro is in a semi-meltdown, but Father Greg goes visit him and says, look, you got to hold on for the next couple of days. You got this. Hold on. He says, no, I got this. I'm going to stay. So he comes, he promises to pick him up for the funeral and drop him right on back. So he does, and they both commit to this program. So he comes and picks up Pedro at the rehab center. And Pedro gets into, after a customary greeting, he gets into the car. And he says to Father G, he says, Father G, I had a dream last night. And you were in it. He says, oh, really? He says, it was really profound. He says, we were in a total dark room. There was no light, no window. No light underneath the door, no light through it. Complete and absolute darkness. But I could tell, Father G, you were there. I could feel your presence. You were right there. But you said nothing. And I was consoled the fact that you were there. He says, okay, and what happened? He says, then you pull out of your pocket a flashlight. You don't say nothing. Father G, you just point that light right over at the light switch. You don't say nothing, but I knew what you were saying. You knew that only I could turn on that light. But I didn't want to turn on the light. I was afraid of the light. But then I took up the courage, Father G. I went over and I eventually got the courage. I turned on that light, Father G. I turned on the light and it overwhelmed. The darkness was overwhelmed. I could see, Father G. And then he tells him, he leans over to him as they're driving to the funeral. He says, Father G, the light is better than the darkness. It really is. A man who had never experienced in his entire life love
or light.
Experienced love. And for his first time in his life, he was overwhelmed by it. And in a dream, he got a very clear way out of the darkness. My friends, today we come to celebrate the birth of Christ, who we call the light of the world. The light of the world. And he came in the midst of darkness, but why did he come? Why was it so important that Christ come in the form that he did? Because so many years before that, the God had given message after message after message, but none were heard. Oh, some heard it and died. Some heard it and listened and abided by life and then died. But none lasted. And so God chose to send himself in the form of a baby infant Jesus. Think of it. Our God, Almighty Father, came to be one of us in the flesh. To give us one singular message. One singular message is that God loves us. And that no matter how dark our days get, no matter how dark our nights get with the wounds that we have, the pain and suffering we have, some very real, some so real that we can taste the pain. And then other wounds that we've caused ourselves for our own sinfulness, for our own bad choices. And what does God still say? God says, I love you. Now, my friends, I can say that until I go blue in the face. But until you experience that love, you will never understand what it really means. That experience, just one tiny experience of that love, will transform your life forever. You can't go back. Once you turn on the light, you can't pretend you didn't see it. You can't pretend you didn't know what was in the room anymore. Because once you see it, you've seen it. You can close your eyes, you can turn off the light, but you've seen it. That is the love of Christ. And God came to be among us so that you and I could experience that. Now all I can do, now look, like Father Greg, I've made the mistake in my youth, in my priesthood, that I was coming to save people. I was going to save and turn on everybody's light. And I too, like Greg, have figured out after many years, it's not the way it works. It's not the way it works at all. The best I can do, if I can even do that, is to shine the light on the light switch that you turn on the light for yourself. That's the most I can hope for. That's the most that I can do. And even that requires tremendous strength and tremendous diligence and tremendous steadfastness. But that's our discipleship. It's not just I who claim to do it. I turn the light on, that light in the midst of your darkness today. Tomorrow you do it for me. The next day we do it for somebody else. That's discipleship. Is today we believe in Christ. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Now look, let's be very clear. I laid down my life to this. This isn't just a passing fad for me. 17 years I've dedicated my life so far. And I plan to dedicate the rest of my life. But that doesn't convince some of you. Some of you come here, maybe Christmas, maybe Easter. And you say, oh yeah, maybe. It's not a judgment. I get it. But here's my point is, I don't know how else to convince you. All I can do is to shine the light on that light that turns on the switch for you. I can't turn it on for you. It doesn't work that way. I cannot turn on the light switch for you. All I can do is witness to it. All any of us can do is witness to it. And that's what we must do. And now more than ever do we meet witnesses to the message of Christ. In this so darkened world, convinced that conflict is better than peace. Convinced that diversity and disunity is better than unity. It's not. The only way that we can get to peace, my friends, is to believe in the one God who became one of us. I can only invite you to turn on the light switch. Now look, we have dedicated time and time again, and many of you are here every single week, hear me harp on about this, is that to go and to have a relationship with Christ is all that matters. Is all that matters, and it will, I promise you, it will change your life. And then the darkness that you're in will not feel like darkness. It won't change anything. The pain will still be there. The suffering will still be there. But somehow it will make a difference. Why? Because you can see with the light of Christ. You can see with the love of God. Ultimately, the message, my friends, of Christmas is that God loves us. And there is nothing that we can do that separates us from that love of God. There's no amount of wounds and pain that can separate us. There's no amount of sins that we can do that can separate us. And I know those are just words, but I believe it. And He is truly the Son of God. I invite you to celebrate that. I invite you to live that. I don't know how else to do it other than to point the light of my life, my discipleship, to the light switch so that you can turn on the light, because I promise you, the light is better than the darkness.